The left decides Tucker Carlson is responsible for a racist mass shooting in Buffalo. Liz Cheney slanders the GOP as complicit in white supremacy. And the Biden administration tries to tax its way out of inflation. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Do you like your web history being seen and sold to advertisers? No? Me neither. Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. We'll get to all the news in just one moment. First, you might have noticed the Fed is finally realizing, hey, wait, inflation, it's really, really bad. They should have noticed this like, I don't know, several years ago. But instead, they just kept pumping the money, which is why you should have bought gold when I told you to buy gold. But you should still be diversifying at least a little bit into precious metals today, because fiat currency, well, as the name would suggest, it is at the behest of political actors. The Fed has been raising rates to play catch up. They plan to raise rates 7 times this year. You're starting to see those ripple effects in the housing market as people's buying power diminishes. Have you considered what could happen in the stock market if the economy stalls out? There's an entire piece in the Wall Street Journal recently suggesting we could be looking at years of economic stagnation in the stock market. Don't wait until that happens. At least take some of your profits from the stock market and solidify them with gold from Birch Gold. Throughout history, gold has maintained its value better than any other asset on planet Earth. Text Ben to 989898. For a free zero obligation information kit on holding gold in a tax sheltered retirement account. Again, text Ben to 989898. Secure the gains you've made while you can. I'm a customer of Birch Gold, along with thousands of others. I've got countless 5-star reviews, A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. I trust the pros at Birch Gold. So I put at least a little bit of my money with my friends over at Birch Gold. Text Ben to 989898. Protect your future with gold by texting Ben to 989898, asking all your questions and then getting started with Birch Gold. Well, folks, we are coming up on the 2-year anniversary of George Floyd's death and the radical worldwide repercussions that followed. And Candace Owens of the Daily Wire has taken her bold lens to the people and places that ignited the violent and racially divided aftermath. You can join Candace as she goes beyond what you've been told by the media to bring the truth to light and expose the greatest lie ever told. The trailer for this explosive documentary drops tonight, 8 p.m. Central Time, on Candace Owens' show, The Greatest Lie Ever Told, George Floyd and the Rise of BLM. It's only available to Daily Wire members. Subscribe today at thegreatestlie.com. Tune in tonight to be the first to catch that exclusive trailer. I'm sure it's going to be combustible. Alrighty, so the fallout from the Buffalo shooting continues. We now know that the laws that were on the books should have prevented this from happening. But of course, they didn't, because there are always a bunch of red flags that go up. And the red flag logs are rarely taken advantage of. According to NBC News, less than a year after a white teenager in upstate New York was investigated for making a threatening statement in school, he legally purchased a firearm, which he is accused of using to gun down 10 black people in a racist rampage, according to the authorities. The massacre at Tops Friendly Market in Buffalo on Saturday should have been thwarted by New York's red flag law, which aims to stop people from buying or possessing firearms when they show they are threats to themselves or others, according to gun policy experts. There is a law on the books that should have stopped all of this. Instead, after the shooter appeared on the radar of New York State Police in June over a chilling comment about a murder-suicide he made in the classroom while still a minor, he was evaluated, cleared, paving the way for him to legally buy the semi-automatic rifle he's accused of using in the shooting 11 months later, according to law enforcement officials and New York's governor. No official involved in the investigation in June initiated a court process that could have helped prevent the shooter from buying a rifle, according to the New York State Police. Now, state legislators are looking into whether those involved followed the proper protocol. Apparently, according to the governor, a teacher had asked the shooter about his plans just before the start of summer vacation last year, and he responded, "I want to murder and commit suicide," which is a weird answer to "What do you plan to do this summer?" School officials immediately alerted the cops. Then the shooter underwent a psychiatric evaluation and was released. The governor said there was not a specific threat or something that seemed to be actionable, but the red flag law in New York does empower school administrators, law enforcement officials, prosecutors, and family members to pursue court intervention when they believe they know somebody who is at high risk of harming themselves or others. And then a judge could very quickly issue an extreme risk protection order, an ERPO, which could order somebody, minor or adult, to surrender any firearms and would put law in place that prevent the person from buying firearms. So everybody failed once again, because that's the way these things tend to work, is that the law is rarely applied, even if the law is stringent enough to prevent the purchase of the weapons or to prevent a shooting in the first place. Meanwhile, the left has decided that this entire story is not about a person who appears to be mentally ill going and shooting a bunch of black people at a supermarket, nor is it about even this person's extreme radical viewpoints. It's about the broad writ Republican Party and the conservative movement in general. So this is a riff on the 1995 Democratic campaign that suggested that Timothy McVeigh, who bombed the Oklahoma City Federal Building, that was really because of Rush Limbaugh. So the new version of this is that this shooter in Buffalo is due to Tucker Carlson. This is the new version of this, is that the entire right has to be painted with the brush of this racist shooter, because after all, the entire right is concerned about illegal immigration or immigration in general, is concerned about voting patterns, is concerned about demographic changes in the country. Now, all of that is normal political discourse. It's normal political discourse for people to talk about how demographic patterns in the country are going to reflect particular voting patterns in the country. Right, left, and center, that sort of talk goes on a regular basis. In fact, it was a staple of Democratic talk from basically 2003 onward, when the left decided that the rising minority majority in the United States was eventually going to make conservatism obsolete. That was a thesis put forward by John Judis and Roy Teixeira in 2003 in a book called The Emerging Democratic Majority. And that idea was brought forward by the Obama campaign in 2012. It was repeated ad nauseum in mainstream media outlets, including NPR. Okay, so that's sort of normal political discourse to talk about how demographics change the rates of voting and how different demographic groups vote. I mean, literally every poll breaks people down according to demographic group. And then that is used as a way of trying to foresee how the voting patterns are going to move in the future. And when it comes to immigration, there's a lot of talk about where immigrants coming from. Are they coming from countries that are in Europe? And how does that affect the voting patterns? Or are they coming from places that are formerly communist, like Cuba? And how does that affect the voting pattern? People who come from Cuba tend to vote more Republican. People who come from Honduras maybe tend to vote more Democrat, right? Like, all of this stuff is fair game politically. What the left is trying to do, as we discussed yesterday, is wrap all of this in the great replacement theory bow. And now, the great replacement theory is something rather specific. And the attempt to broaden that out to include kind of normal discussions of demographic change in voting patterns, or discussions of immigration, or discussions of why it would be that, for example, Democrats in the United States seem so all-fired intent on allowing hundreds of thousands of people to cross the southern border illegally without policing them, and seem intent on amnestying a lot of those people, that wrapping that all together with the actual hardcore white supremacist great replacement theory, that's all kind of par for the course, according to the mainstream media now. Now, here's the thing. The Anti-Defamation League, which is now a left-wing outlet, right, run by Jonathan Greenblatt, it used to be a defender against anti-Semitism. Now it basically parrots Democratic talking points. But the ADL has a rundown on what exactly the great replacement theory is. And in their rundown on what the great replacement theory is, here's what they say. They say the great replacement theory has its roots in early 20th century French nationalism and books by French nationalist and author Maurice Barre. However, it was French writer and critic Renaud Camus who popularized the phrase for today's audiences when he published an essay titled Le Grand Remplacement, or The Great Replacement, in 2011. Camus believes native white Europeans are being replaced in their countries by non-white immigrants from Africa and the Middle East, and the end result will be the extinction of the white race. Now, notice that. Notice that, right? It is about the extinction of the white race, right? This is what distinguishes the quote-unquote great replacement theory from questions about voting patterns or cultural assimilation. If you are worried, for example, that people are going to come from countries and bring with them the values that those countries tend to uphold, that is not great replacement theory. Great replacement theory is white people are inherently superior and they have to protect themselves. And the way to protect themselves is to prevent immigration because the racial stock of the country will somehow be degraded, right? That is the racist white supremacist great replacement theory. What the left has done is try to spin this into an argument about how if you are opposed to illegal immigration more generally, or if you have questions about immigration policy in the United States, if you think, for example, that it actually made a difference in 1965 when we changed our immigration laws to change the point of origin for mass immigration in the United States from Europe to south of the border, that actually made a voting difference in the United States, which, by the way, it did. And if you notice that is great replacement theory. That is not great replacement theory. Great replacement theory is the idea that the white race is threatened. It sounds Hitlerian. It's the 14 words that are usually spoken by actual white supremacists, right? This is an actual phrase, is we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, right? It is about the race. It is not about constitutional values or constitutional liberties or about the traditions of the West. It's not about any of that sort of stuff. It's about the race specifically. So the reason I'm making this distinction is because the left is trying to obliterate this distinction so as to claim that the mass shooter, who again, trafficked in the direct great replacement theory. If you read his so-called manifesto, this 180-page screed, the whole thing is about racial distinctions and about how certain races are inferior and certain races are superior, and Jews might be white, but they also might not be white, and how Jews are conspiratorially placed throughout the American superstructure in order to effect the destruction of the white race. It is very clearly just neo-Nazi kind of stuff. The left idea is to try and lump that in with, generally speaking, questions about immigration or opposition to mass immigration or opposition to amnesty. And if you do any of that, according to the left, this makes you complicit in a person going and shooting up a largely black crowd at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. So this is coming now from the White House. Joe Biden is supposed to visit Buffalo, New York today. I perfectly expect that Joe Biden is going to be extraordinarily polarizing. I'd be shocked if he is not. the so-called Great Uniter, the guy who came into office saying that he was going to be a president for all the citizens, I'd be absolutely astonished if he doesn't spend today attempting to polarize the American people by suggesting that half of Americans are somehow quasi-supportive of actions like the racist massacre that just took place in Buffalo, New York. So the brand new White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, is now out. She's going to head on over to MSNBC, where she can fulfill her true life's passion of actually just doing full-scale media propaganda. So Karine Jean-Pierre just replaced Jen Psaki at the top of the list. And I mean, first of all, we should introduce Karine Jean-Pierre, mainly because this is how she introduced herself. So as you will see, she's not actually very good at her job. But the important thing is, because this is the way the Biden administration works, if you are Black, gay, an immigrant, a woman, if you fulfill intersectional check marks, it really doesn't matter if you're very good at your job. So here is Karine Jean-Pierre introducing herself, as we will see. It would seem to me that it would be more important that she's good at her job. I mean, the least you can say about Jen Psaki is that she was an able spokesperson for a very bad administration. Karine Jean-Pierre isn't even good at that, but here's Karine Jean-Pierre introducing herself.
I am obviously acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a Black, gay, immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position. Representation does matter. You hear us say this often in this administration, and no one understands this better than President Biden.
So I'm not sure why any of that is supremely important, but apparently, according to the Democrats, it really, really is. So then she starts being asked like actual questions. So she's asked whether Joe Biden believes that Tucker Carlson is at least partially responsible for this because he's pushing great replacement theory. And here is her misdirection.
Does the White House believe these views are being amplified by Tucker Carlson?
Look, you know, like I said, we are still figuring out the motivation of all of this. And we are very clear. Look, you know, as you all know, watching what happened in Charlottesville was a major factor in the president deciding to run, right? And back in 2017, you know, many of those dark voices still exist today. And the president is determined, as he was back then, and he is determined today, to make sure that we fight back against those forces of hate and evil and violence.
Okay, so again, the talking point is that this is sort of endemic in the American system. That this sort of hate that you saw at Charlottesville, they will not replace us, right? Literally, great replacement theory slogans being chanted at Charlottesville or a mass shooter in Buffalo, New York, that is somehow indicative of a broad scale American movement in the United States. This is being said by the White House now. It's being parroted by pretty much everybody on the left today. Karine Jean-Pierre continued along these lines. She says, "We're going to do everything in our power to stop hate-filled domestic terrorism." Well, I mean, it sort of depends on the source, doesn't it?
Hate must not have a safe harbor. This is something that the president says very often, especially in these horrific incidents that we have seen time and time again. We must do everything in our power to end hate-fueled domestic terrorism, and we must reject hatred and extremism ideologies that seek to divide Americans whenever we find it in our society.
Okay, well, it obviously isn't even handed in the way that they attempt to fight hate-filled extremism. So Jean-Pierre was asked a quick follow-up, which was, if you want to fight hate-filled extremism, why is it the president of the United States is like rushing over to Buffalo, New York to give a speech, and he couldn't be bothered to visit Waukesha after a bunch of white Christmas parade goers were mowed down by a Black supremacist?
How come the president is visiting Buffalo after a senseless tragedy there, but he couldn't visit Waukesha after six were killed and 61 injured in an attack on a Christmas parade there?
I mean, he's visited many communities. Buffalo, he's able to go tomorrow to Buffalo before the trip. That is something that was important for him to do. But he has visited many other communities.
He's visited many other communities. Wow, she is really, really not good at her job. As we'll see later on in the program, it gets a lot worse. This is her first major presser. It was not great. Already coming up, you've got the Senate Majority Leader calling out Tucker Carlson as a white supremacist. But don't worry, this is a very non-divisive administration. Democrats are just trying to bring Americans together. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, cryptocurrency. Now you can get it at kind of a cheap price. Let's be honest about this. So there are a lot of people out there that have questions about crypto. Is crypto going to be destroyed? All of this kind of stuff. I am an investor in cryptocurrency. I own some Bitcoin. I own some Ethereum. And the simple fact of the matter is, over the next 10, 15, 20 years, I'm a big believer that cryptocurrency is going to be a store of value if you believe the same, but you're looking for a place to trade. You need an Alto Crypto IRA. You can trade crypto like Bitcoin and avoid or defer the taxes. Get into investing in crypto, do it in a tax-advantaged retirement account. Alto's crypto IRA is the easy way to get crypto into an IRA. You can trade all you want without the tax headache. You can create an account in just a few minutes. You can invest with as little as 10 bucks. No setup charges, no account fees. Secure trading 24/7 through Alto's integration with Coinbase. They've got 150 plus coins available, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Cardano. Open an Alto crypto IRA account with as little as 10 bucks. Just go to altoira.com/Ben. That's altoira.com/Ben. You can start investing in cryptocurrency today at altoira.com/Ben. Once more, that is altoira.com/Ben to get started. Meanwhile, again, the entire media have picked up on this. Chuck Schumer has picked up on this. The very, very temporary Senate Majority Leader, he just straight up blames Tucker Carlson for a shooter who, by the way, says in his manifesto that Fox News is corporate conservatism, which he hates.
Organizations like Fox News have spent years perfecting the craft of stoking cultural grievance and political resentment that eerily mirrors the messages found in replacement theory. According to one measure by the New York Times, Fox's top political pundit, most widely watched, Tucker Carlson.
And again, they'll conflate anything. Anything they don't like is now part of the great replacement theory. So Whoopi Goldberg, who was most recently defending Hitler as not a racist, now says that if you favor election integrity, you're a fan of the great replacement theory.
He was concerned that he's being replaced by black and brown people. And I just want to say, listen, if that was the case, don't you think we would have gotten it done? People talk code and say, oh, well, you know, voters and but that's not what you mean. If that's what you meant, people would say, hey, let's talk about the voting laws. But they don't. We know what you mean when you say it. We've been black and brown long enough to recognize it. Stop it.
When you talk about voter laws, typically you're talking about voter laws. But apparently now, if you talk about voter laws or voter ID, you're a racist in line with great replacement theory. If you are actually Adolf Hitler, according to Whoopi Goldberg, you're not really racist because that was white people attacking other white people because Jews are white people. Like I definitely trust Whoopi Goldberg on matters of racial nuance. She definitely is an expert on this sort of stuff. And then, of course, you have the broadest argument of all, according to the left, and this is Bakari Sellers on CNN, claiming that what happened in Buffalo is what America is, that that's what America is. That's an unbelievable statement. So you have a mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, horrific mass shooting. And this now represents how America treats some 35 million black people who live in the country. That's absurd on every level. Here's Bakari Sellers making the case anyway.
The tragedy in this is that it's a cycle. This is who America is. We have this racist attack. We have outrage. We have thoughts and prayers. We have political back and forth. And then we have an entire cycle where it happens over and over and over again.
Again, all part of this broader narrative. So here's the question. On a practical political level, there are two things that the Democrats and their allies in the media are talking about. One is censorship. Right? Anything we don't like has to be censored. And the other is, you just should stop talking about any of these issues that we don't want you to talk about. Just generally speaking, anything can now be cast in the light of whatever evil is out there today. So great replacement theory is now talk about immigration. If you talk about mass immigration, or if you talk about how the Democratic Party seems to not only have no handle on immigration, they don't seem to care about having a handle on immigration. And maybe there's a political purpose to that, since they are, in fact, a political party. This now makes you an advocate of great replacement theory racism. There's only one problem with this. As all of this is happening, the most migrants encountered at the southern border in April, the number is the highest in 100 years. 100 years. So if you have questions about this administration and why they're facilitating the entry of hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants every month, if you have questions about this, this means you're an advocate of great replacement theory, like that evil Tucker Carlson, who's mentioned 400 times on his show, according to the New York Times. And this means that you're responsible for a shooting in faraway Buffalo, New York, of black people. Not of migrants on the border, of black people in New York. You follow the logic here? It's all transitive property garbage. Yeah, because there actually is a real issue on the border. And we should be talking about that real issue on the border. According to the Washington Examiner, the number of migrants encountered attempting to enter the United States illegally from Mexico rose in April, surpassing all previous records over the past century. U.S. border officials intercepted 234,000 migrants attempting to enter the country illegally last month alone, according to federal court documents obtained by the Washington Examiner late Monday. In the first 15 full months of President Joe Biden's term in office, federal law enforcement at the southern border have stopped more than 2.75 million people. That is in 15 months. 2.75 million people. About half of those people end up released into the United States. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the federal agency that inspects people and goods, said 32,288 people tried to cross at the land ports of entry but were denied. That figure is nearly three times the 11,397 figure seen in March. Apparently, the number of people actually released into the country is greater than 100,000. Fewer than half of those intercepted were expelled under Title 42. About 16,000 were removed through other procedures. So out of the 234,000 migrants who arrived at the southern border, only approximately 112,000 were actually removed, which means that the majority of people who showed up on the border were released into the interior of the United States. And so that might make you wonder, like, why are they doing that? I mean, I thought they were in charge of border protection. Why are they doing that? And you might have to start asking yourself, maybe the reason they're doing that is for a political purpose. Like, for example, creating a base of voters who tend to vote in their direction. I mean, that would make some political sense, would it not? That's not great replacement theory because, again, I don't care about the color of people coming across the border at all. I don't care about their point of origin, really. What I do care about is the cultural values they bring in, the voting values they bring in, the education they bring in, the economic value they bring in. These are all legit immigration questions. But if you ask that sort of stuff, it's really bad. Meanwhile, you've got an administration that's just looking the other way and downplaying all of this. Alejandro Mayorkas, the ridiculously awful Department of Homeland Security head, he says, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's just a regional challenge. It's a regional challenge, you know.
I was in Panama just a few weeks ago, Costa Rica before then, because we need our partners to the south to manage their borders as well. The migration that the United States is encountering is not an issue exclusive to the United States. It's a regional challenge and requires a regional solution.
It's just a region, you know, it really isn't about our border issue. It's about the Northern Triangle and our policy in Honduras. Or theoretically, you could, you know, try to crack down on the amount of illegal immigration. And if you're not, that might make people suspicious that maybe you actually don't oppose illegal immigration all that harshly. Which, by the way, you have an entire Democratic Party caucus that has called for ending Border Patrol as an actual body. In just one second, we'll get to the Democrats who are desperately attempting to swivel away from economics talk, because, of course, that means that they'll get their asses blown out in 2022. So we'll talk about that in just one moment. First, this episode is sponsored by The Jordan Harbinger Show. We are fans here at The Daily Wire. The Jordan Harbinger Show features in-depth interviews with some of the world's most interesting people, like Charles Koch or Kobe Bryant. It's clear Jordan really goes in the weeds preparing for these interviews. He really asks, I think, deep and probing questions in ways that you haven't heard before. Plus, every Friday, Jordan releases a Feedback Friday episode to respond to listener questions. He covers everything from conventional problems like leaving a dream job to heavy subjects like helping someone escape an abusive relationship. I'd recommend his interviews with Jack Schaefer or Dan Carlin. It's a great interview with Yeonmi Park or Kobe. Plus, listening to Jordan goes great with listening to this show. You're already doing that right now. So why not add Jordan Harbinger to your podcast rotation? Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening right now. Again, check out The Jordan Harbinger Show today. I don't always agree with Jordan, but I always learn something new listening to The Jordan Harbinger Show. You will too. Add it to your podcast rotation, The Jordan Harbinger Show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening right now. Again, that's spelled Jordan, H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this podcast at the moment. Alrighty, to avoid public criticism and peer pressure, would you compromise your principles and blend in with the crowd? Or would you stand up for what you believe in? In 2020, massive act of courage by NBA rising star Jonathan Isaac. So amid pro basketball's league-wide protest against racial injustice, Jonathan became one of the only players not to kneel for the national anthem. You remember, this is a major controversy, and the media went wild on him. Oh, he must be terrible. Oh, he must be ignorant. Well, now Jonathan Isaac is telling his story in his brand new book, Why I Stand, published with the Daily Wire's DW Books. Jonathan shares how his experiences and faith shaped who he is and his perspective on the world. I've met Jonathan. He's an incredible person. Met his wife, met his pastor. He's just a fantastic guy. This book is a fantastic read. So if you want to hear the story behind a man who made a really courageous stand and gain inspiration and strength to uphold your own values, pick up a copy of Why I Stand by Jonathan Isaac. It's out right now wherever you buy books. You're listening to the largest, fastest growing conservative podcast and radio show in the nation. So So meanwhile, this administration, which is desperately attempting to misdirect to other issues for the elections, they tried abortion last week, had no impact on the polls. So now they're trying all Republicans are racist who favor mass shootings. The real reason they're doing this, of course, is because on the economy,